Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We'll get Paul Hamilton in here. It's a football Friday. Take your calls on Bills Dolphins, of course, and start to prep for a Sunday 1 o'clock affair that Bills Mafia will probably take over that stadium. And, you know, plenty to get to. Chris Brown at 8 o'clock, Alan Pupar on the Dolphins at 7:30, and Sal checking in as well. Going to move Sal to 8:30. Sal, if you're listening, you're moved to 8:30. I'm going to text him that, too. 803-0550 if you want to jump in. And we'll also check in with Paul Hamilton on last night's game between the Sabres and the Blues. It's Miami week. Paul, have you been to a Bills-Dolphins game in your life? How many?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in Miami.
Yes.
Yeah? How many? One or two? Five? Ten?
Because yeah, for a while, I covered the Bills, so... but more than once I've been down there.
Yeah,
a couple times.
It's always a good time, you know. I went to the Elbow Rooms website to watch web. I was looking for Joe on webcams because they've got a webcam that kind of just streams the whole time as people walk in, and you can see that place get taken over by Bills fans over the course of a full weekend. I did not see Joe. So if anybody sees Joe on the webcam, go ahead and send it to me. It should be a good time down there.
No, yeah. Every time I've been there, it's basically been Bills fans.
Gotcha. Yeah. It's takeover. It usually is. So, Football Friday, we'll get back to Bills and Dolphins in a bit. But, Paul, the Sabres last night, they fall to the St. Louis Blues, who had played on a back-to-back, who had benched one of their best players. And the Sabres, if you want to say they got goal lead, I mean, maybe they did in reverse. Lukanen was not strong. To me, it's... I don't know, Paul. We could take moral victories about how they looked and how they outchanced other teams. But, man, I've got two losses to Boston, a loss to St. Louis, and the basement spot in the Eastern Conference belongs to Buffalo yet again.
Yeah, they got goalied by a guy who basically had the worst numbers as a goalie in the NHL this year. He came in with a 5.02 goals against and an .859 save percentage. And then right off the bat, they had some chances, and he... You know, I don't know if they were just shooting it at him or if he really did have a really good game or what it was. But, you know, they just, you know, now that's, you know, in two games they have one goal. And it's gotten goalie two games in a row now. So I think part of it is what they're doing. And part of it is, you know, goaltenders are coming up now. I kind of knew the Blues were going to be, even though it was back-to-back, I mean, they were just awful against the Caps. And, you know, athletes do have some pride. And then a guy who is your best goal scorer gets put in the stands because, he hasn't been good enough. And so the coach benches him and he's not in the lineup. The guy that they put in the lineup for him was in on all three goals for the Blues, scored one of them, had a couple of assists. You know, but the Sabres did, I mean, you look at the shot attempts, 60, St. Louis at 38. You did see a Blues team that was desperate to block shots. They had 19 of them in the game, you know, so a team that should have been really tired and was the second worst team in the National Hockey League, have had the worst goaltending in the National Hockey League, comes up big and comes in and wins. Now, you know, the Sabres had been 5-0-2 in their last seven at home, so that's their first regulation and loss for a while at home. But the problem is, yeah, it's only their second regulation loss in 11 games, but they were just basically keeping their head above water, you know, by doing all this and playing the way they were, because everybody in the East was doing well. So, you know, now you've you know, lost that game. Okay, you know, it's again, they're 5-1-2 in their last eight at home, which isn't bad. That's fine. But look what's coming up. You know,
Carolina.
Yeah, they're 0-2 on the road. 0-2-2 on the road. So okay, now let's go to Carolina, Utah, Colorado,
Detroit,
and Detroit on a four-game road trip.
Yep.
Great. And I hate to say this because I've watched it happen before. With as close as the standings are, they go to Carolina, Utah, and Colorado, there's a pretty good chance they're going 0-3 there, and that makes them 0-4 in their last four. And 0-4-1. Where are they going to be in the standings if that happens? If they go to Carolina, Utah, and Colorado, three places they don't do well in, and against three really, really good teams, but what happens if you go 0-4 or 1-3? Where are you going to be now?
Right. Yeah, Paul, I mean, the season's far from over, of course, but they've got injuries, and they need some of these players back. We were talking about it in the opening segment, and Owen kind of mentioned he thinks Tage just kind of looks a little bit disengaged. I wonder if you agree, or, you know, we talked about it earlier this week, maybe. Sometimes he's a slow starter, but, you know, he's really what they've got out there. And, you know, with Benson battling an injury and Norris and Kulik and Zucker, like I'm pretty thin, and I need either to be Tage or Tuck in a game like that.
I thought he was getting going against Toronto. He got three goals in two games. Well, he only has two other goals, you know, and other than those three. And I don't think it was fair what Lindy Ruff did to start that game. Ostlund, Roseanne, and Tage Thompson, they'd never played together before. They never had a practice together. And boy, did they look like it. And Lindy Ruff let that go for two periods. That line was so far out of sync. I mean, those were two guys that basically were like, oh my God, I'm playing with Tage Thompson. Oh wow, I'm playing with Tage Thompson. I better pass him the puck every time I get it. Where's Tage? Here, we got the puck. Where's Tage? Where is he? Oh, here, let's pass it through nine guys to try to get to Tage. There he is. All right, we'll go. Right. That's the way they played. That wasn't fair to any of them. And to let that go for two periods, I mean, it was just way over what Ostlund and Roseanne could handle. And if that was what you had in mind, why didn't you at least do it in a practice or something like that? Because it certainly didn't. And not only didn't it work, I was shocked that Lindy Ruff let it go for 40 minutes, because I'm just watching it happen going, and, you know, I'm not really going to jump on Tage about that. I mean, it just he was with two guys who were basically from Rochester, who were basically rookies who were trying to make a name for themselves, and they weren't up for that right there then and there. They, as I said, they were totally deferring everything to Tage Thompson, and it just wasn't working at all.
Paul Hamilton joining us on the Western Hotline. Paul, to talk before we finish out here. You know, I had this thought, of course, last night, maybe I have it a lot, that trading Tuck at the deadline feels more and more likely as they, you know, kind of flounder here. How do you feel about his game? And is that something that Sabres fans should maybe start to come to grips with, the idea that they would move him if they don't have a deal in place by then? Because it sure seems like things are really quiet there right now.
Yeah, he's had some great opportunities, including this game. I mean, they, of course, took their stupid penalty in the third period, and right at the end of that penalty, he gets a two-on-one. Here he comes. And Falk was the defenseman for St. Louis, one of the better defensemen in the NHL in his prime. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. He took the pass away. There was no way that pass was coming and getting to Samuelson. And Tuck decides to pass the puck. Who would you rather have shoot the puck on a two-on-one? The guy who scored 36 goals last year, or the guy who has 9 in his career in over 200 NHL games? And the pass was, he could have made that pass 100 times. It wasn't getting there in any of the 100 times. Falk had taken it away. It was the typical leave the shooter for the goalie, and you make sure you take the pass away. That's exactly what he did. And Tuck tried to force it through anyway instead of shooting the puck. And I'm sorry, I want the guy who scores 36 goals to shoot that puck 100 times out of 100. I never, ever, ever, ever want him to pass that. And it was just, you know, and Tuck had some great opportunities in there. Tuck had some great opportunities last game against Utah on a 3-on-1. He was at the end of the 3-on-1. They had set him up perfectly with the wide-open net. He missed the net in the third period, and then he was robbed in overtime right before the overtime goal was scored. You know, had a great chance, which is what they kind of do in overtime. Their better players get the good chances, and then the other team comes down and scores. And quite honestly, I think they play the overtime the way they should. I mean, they should go for it. That's what overtime's for. They should go for it and try to get that extra point. But when you're getting stymied every time and your best players are getting stymied, well, yeah, as Lindy Ruff said, you're going to give up a great big chance the other way. And sure you are. But your best player should be coming through for you, you know, because they're getting that opportunity. And they've left maybe 2-3 points on the table because their best players haven't come through in overtime.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline as we chat about the Sabres game last night. They lost to the Blues 3-0. And Paul, finally, in net, Luukkonen, the path forward for him here and for what they should do in net. Of course, like Alex Lyon has earned the number one spot. Can they count on Luukkonen to be number two?
Yeah, well, if he plays like he did the other night, yeah. Last night, I mean, yeah, he only gave up 2 goals. You still should be able to win the hockey game. The first goal is they had just missed a phenomenal opportunity. Quinn made a great play to Doan on the power play in front. Doan's right there. Hoffer somehow makes a great save. Then Quinn turns the puck over right away, turns into a breakaway, but you don't get a big save, you know? And that is not an easy save. You hear me say that all the time, but teams that win the Stanley Cup, their goalie makes a big save there for them and bails their player out, and he didn't. And then the second goal, he'd want back. It was just a shot from the left circle that wasn't screened, and he missed it, and it went in. So, you know, how does that game change if Doan happens to score on that power play so there isn't even a turnover to be had for the other team and you take the 1-0 lead there? You know, who knows? I mean, how much different is that hockey game if all that one play just turns around and doesn't turn into what would have been a 1-0 lead, turns into a 1-0 deficit, and now you're on the other side? But as I said, at the end of the day, even though Luukkonen, you want to save on the breakaway, you need a save on the second goal, but at the end of the day, he only gave up 2.
Yeah.
And that should be good enough to win a hockey game.
Paul Hamilton. Paul, it's a road trip now. We'll do Eye on the Blue and Gold, which is brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We protect your business. You don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems. So 4-game trip, Carolina, Utah, Colorado, and Detroit. And the first trip away, are we close to Lindy saying, like, maybe it's good to get away, kind of find themselves here because it looks like an opportunity, possibly?
Well, as I said, they were 5-0-2 at home.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, it wasn't like they were floundering or anything like that. They had one regulation loss in 10 games. So, yeah, no, I wouldn't sit there and say it's good to get away, especially going to these places. Now, Colorado last year, I'll bring it up again, they had a 3-0 lead in Colorado.
Right.
It wasn't the 4-0 lead they had in Buffalo, but they had a 3-0 lead in Colorado. They did get a point out of the game, which they normally don't get when they're there, but they didn't win it. You know, they played Utah even with all the injuries, and still, you know, through it all, you played a bad Blues team and you didn't play well, but still, you're still missing Norris, you're still missing Benson, you're still missing Zucker, you're still missing Kulik. You're still missing a lot of really, really good players. Now, you might be able to get two of those back on Saturday. They're eligible to come off of IR, so Kulik and Zucker might be ready, you know, because one was ill and the other had, fluid in the ear. So we'll see where they are, and they certainly would be welcomed additions back because, you know, part of Thompson's problem is two of his guys are gone. I mean, yep. Norris and Benson, two people that he was planning on playing with. Now, he also is a guy who can score 45 goals, and he should be able to play with guys other than Norris and Benson. Those are enormous losses. And then you add Zucker and Kulik to that. Well, I don't know how many teams you're going to beat in the National Hockey League taking all those guys out of your lineup.
Yeah. Paul, we could be I don't want to say it. Like, feels like it's always on a razor's edge that couple losses here and people are going to go ahead and call this thing, you know, because of the way the conference has gone. They're not out of anything yet, but they've not played. They've not gotten the results to be in it. And here I've got, like, you know, Detroit and other teams that even Pittsburgh. I don't know how surprised people are about Pittsburgh. They're older than dirt, and they're here in second in the Atlantic. Like, everybody else seems to have these, you know, surprise starts, and the Sabres, you know, we want to give them a little bit of credit for all these overtime losses and these overtime points that they've learned.
Well, or I'll give them credit to have one regulation loss in 10 games.
Sure, but if I could make a comparison here, it's like you only have one bogey in your last 10 holes, but everybody else has birdies, and you've got none. Like, you got to keep pace, you know. So it's
that's the thing. All they did is keep pace. Can you imagine if they played 580 hockey, which isn't too bad in that time?
Yep.
They'd be trailing the whole thing, you know, and looking up at everybody. Which actually, if you go with tiebreakers, they are right now. You know, they are dead last. They're tied for last in points. There's a bunch of people with the same amount of points, but tiebreakers put them in the bottom. But that's the thing that is crazy, is they got nowhere with a pretty good points percentage, and now they got to go into some arenas they're not good in and figure out how to get themselves some points.
Paul Hamilton joining us. His appearance courtesy of Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Thanks, Paul.
Yep.
Paul Hamilton, Sabres next play tomorrow in Carolina, which is another road trip I've made. Bills, Dolphins, I've been to Miami, I've been to Carolina. Look at next year's Bills schedule. We'll get to that in a little bit because I got to get to a Bills road game. I haven't been to a Bills road game in a decade, which is embarrassing. It's terrible.
I believe they're in Vegas next year.
They are in Vegas. Last time they're in Vegas, it was the pandemic and people didn't really go. So Vegas next year could be good, right? Go play the Raiders. Expect to get a win there. 803-0550 on Bills Dolphins on the Sabres if you want as well. Paul in Buffalo. Hey, Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy. Here we are in our familiar place, the basement of the Atlantic Division. And I have reached a familiar place because if your name isn't Darlene or Benson, and this is not just for the team, for the entire friggin' organization, I want you gone. Burn it down. This build is done. We have our best centerman playing wing, And he's so lazy as a winger, that was one of the reasons he was moved to center by Don Granato, who, oh my God, I'm so sorry that I ever wanted Don Granato fired. I was a fool. I thought Don Granato moved Jeff Skinner off the first line. And incidentally, like I've said for almost 2 years, we haven't had a first line since Jeff Skinner was on it. And the dumb GM, the unqualified guy who only has a job because he likes firing people in a pandemic, he had Jeff Skinner moved off the first line, and we haven't had a first line since. And our best center is playing wing because our dinosaur coach doesn't know what the hell he's doing. This team, everybody thought the power play was fixed. Take out the Ottawa game. Take out the Florida Panther game. This power play's dreadful. They look just like they have for the last 2 years since Don Granato was shipped out. The last time we had a good power play, Don Granato was coaching it. This power play is awful. What is Seth Appert hired to do, Jeremy? He's been here 2 years just to fix the power play in special team situations. Yep. What else do we suck at? We suck at 6-5. That's another Seth Appert special. Seth Appert isn't qualified to coach a junior varsity high school hockey team. He shouldn't have a job either. This is horrendous. And guess who's playing their way off Team USA? Tage Thompson, the lazy winger, and Alex Tuck, who doesn't know what the hell he's doing this year. He's passing to Matias Samuelson on a 2-on-1. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And Rasmus Dahlin is continuing his streak. He's now at 18 games in a row, not having recorded a plus. Buddy, if your head is in Europe, go to Europe. Take a leave of absence. Otherwise, realize your refuge is the ice. That's the only place you can control your life, Darlene, is on the ice. So, goddamn it.
All right, Paul, easy, easy. I was about to give you Seth Appert's power play stats on when he was at RPI, but I think I'll just leave it there. Because Chris Hallstrander, who covers, you know, Sabres, who in the box had that on their power play. I told you, Owen, like I said, they lost a Thursday game to the Blues. How far do I want to go? And, like, you know, it's all very familiar. It's not that different than the Bills have the same season they always have, and people say, like, why are you freaking out about the passing games? Like,
exactly.
Because what we're seeing is the same season, and we hope there's a different outcome. For the Sabres, we're seeing, you know, a lot of the same stuff, and we're hoping for a different outcome.
Right.
So
you know, should... In a vacuum, should they be booed off the ice last night if that's just a normal, like,
right,
in and out of the playoffs team? No.
Context matters, but yeah.
Exactly. You can't remove the context of 14 years of this and seeing the same things.
Well, listen, 4 regulation wins in 14 games, you know.
It's tough.
Gavin McKenna. I'm having to start saying his name a little more often. Maybe we'll go see him. He plays at Penn State.
Look up some highlights from last year.
Okay.
It's pretty hot.
And they're not going to get to the bottom because I think there's like 4 teams from the West that are going to be
Calgary
locked
is gonna
in.
Be,
Calgary is locked in at
San
the bottom.
San Jose is going to be deep down there.
Right,
too,
15
probably.
Games into the season. I look forward to San Jose's inevitable dominance of the sport after 4 to 5 years at the bottom, which
good.
Is what the sport is built to give you. That a lot of teams that do that ultimately get 803-0550. Okay, Alan Pupar covers the Dolphins on another team that's kind of fallen on some hard times. They fired their GM, and, you know, here we are. Bills-Dolphins yet again. Let's see if the Bills can get the job done, look good in the process. They've had some pretty convincing wins against Miami in the past. They've also had some close games. 803-0550 to join us here on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. Call the eights. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Crosby's hometown fuel, game day ready since 1922.
This is a big divisional game down there away.
Looking downfield, now goes back to the flat, and buried at the 38-yard line is Devon Achane. Shaq Thompson lowered the boom.
It sounds cliche, and you know, you harp on it over and over again, but you know, success and winning games in this league is hard, and I think we got a lot of selfless guys in this locker room, and as long as we're winning games, that's all we really do truly care about.
Back to pass, looking left, and stretching and reaching for it is Kincaid, and he stumbles into the end zone for the touchdown.
Very competitive team. We have a ton of respect for their game, so we got to get ourselves ready to go.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, good morning. Happy Football Friday. Bills and Dolphins on the way this weekend. It is a Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, call the eights, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's hometown fuel. Game day ready since 1922. Jeremy and Joe. Joe is in Miami for this game. His first ever pilgrimage down there, which will lead me to tell my story about my one trip to Miami for Bills Dolphins. I saw the Bills win in Miami in 2020. I got to Google it to find out when it was. It's the year that the Bills draft Marcell Dareus. That year before. And I only know that because it's the year the Bills were, I'm pretty sure they were 0-8 and finished 4-12. I think that's the year. Miami had a chance to still make the playoffs, and the Bills went into Miami and beat them, and that was that. So that's not the whole story. There's much more to that story. The Sabres played in Florida the night before. I went down. The Sabres played the Panthers in Florida in Sunrise on a Friday night and gave up four goals in the first period. I think Ryan Miller got pulled. It was 2-0 before I sat down. A great time. And then the Bills went and won. So it wasn't a clean sweep, but maybe an omen for my road record. My road record's not very good with these teams. Anyway, Bills and Dolphins this week, and Sean McDermott there saying, like, you know, this is a competitive team. It is an important matchup in the division because, of course, the Bills are in a division race, and division record will matter. I've got the New York Times playoff machine, some numbers to crunch on that a little bit later. But it's a Football Friday, and we'll talk with Sal. We'll also talk with Ellen Pupar, who covers the Dolphins at 7:30. Chris Brown at 8:30. We'll check in with Paul Hamilton on last night's Sabres loss to the St. Louis Blues. And, you know, fun, frivolity, all that good stuff along the way as we gear up for a weekend that could see some snowflakes flying kind of in the area. So, with that said, I want to, even though it's a Football Friday, can I get in on the Sabres for a minute quickly? Because I had the thought last night about their future, and there are these pesky reports. There are these, what do I want to say? What's the right word for this? These lingering reports about the idea that Brendan Shanahan would be interested in the Sabres job. As president. And Brendan Shanahan is looking to get back into a front office, and he might take the Buffalo job. I also saw Chicago, whatever. But it's just kind of there, and you've got some NHL insiders that every once in a while reference Brendan Shanahan as an idea. And here are the Sabres off to a start. I don't know what I want to say about it. There's a thing that happens when you talk about the Sabres, I think. If you are someone that watches the Sabres, maybe you have this same experience that I do, which is every loss, you're just like, all right, really, though, what are we doing? Come on. What are we really doing here? This team, which was going to be more defensively responsible, and they don't have any trouble scoring, right? What are you worried about? Trading away Peterka is trading away some goals. Not the only thing, of course, but trading away Peterka, and what they got back in the deal was they're going to be more defensively responsible, and scoring's not a problem. All right. Only one team in the East has fewer goals than the Sabres. And they got shut out last night by the Blues, who stink. They got shut out by the Blues, who stink, and also sat one of their best players and played a goalie that's who? What's his name? Who is he?
Joel Hofer. Which had a sub 800 save percentage.
Excuse me. Oh, I think Hofer, Hofer, is an omen for this Hall of Famer. He's going to make it someday.
Plays every game against the Sabres.
They got shut out by Joel Hofer and their best players right now deliver nothing, the Sabres. You get nothing from the best players. You get so little. Tage, Dahlin, Tuck, what do you get? From these players.
Tage has been, he's always been a little bit
slow start,
aloof to me in terms of, like, as a hockey player all around. He's not the best in his own end, and there's, you know, he glides around.
Are you saying he's an imperfect player?
Yeah, I'm going to say he's an imperfect player. But what we have seen in these last few games and really to start the season from him is, like, a completely disengaged player who just looks disconnected from what's happening on the ice. And he is supremely talented, and he is their best chance to have some sort of offensive firepower with all the injuries they have and the struggles with, you know, the rest of the lineup. But when you've got him floating around the ice, just not really looking like he's that into the game and making really poor puck decisions, just floating pucks on net, giving it away on the wall. Like, you're not surviving with what they've got if he's looking like that.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. And then he's also, that is just the offensive stuff that you need from him. He's always going to hurt you a little bit defensively because he is just always on the wrong side of the puck. It's really tough to see another guy that is more just unaware of how to muddy up another team attacking. He just floats at the puck, dives in, and then he's behind the play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it does not look good for him right now. And they need it to be great from him right now if they want to survive.
Yeah, last night they control play. They are probably the better team, and their goalie lets up, two goals over expected, basically? Like, Lukanen was a mess.
Pretty much.
Lukanen's a mess. They throw him in.
Yeah.
I mean,
I would like to, like, it's very easy to point to that second goal that Lukanen gives up and say, like, that's not okay. And it's not. But when you can't score, it does not matter. It doesn't matter.
Yep. Whatever, high danger chances, 10-4 for the Sabres. Scoring chances, 19-7 for the Sabres. Shot attempts, 51-30 for the Sabres. All those at 5-on-5, never mind the power play, which is another conversation. So, you know, whatever. What are you supposed to do with it? What are you supposed to do? To the Shanahan point, the thing I thought was, like, all right, so the best case scenario is they make the playoffs because they are still alive. Like, everybody is still alive. They had a chance last night to maybe move into a playoff spot if other scores went the right way, and that didn't happen. Instead, they're in last. They have 4 regulation wins in 14 games, which, you know, how well do you know the movie Step Brothers, everybody out there? You know when they're interviewing for the job and they're wearing tuxedos?
Right.
And then the mood in the room changes and Seth Rogen says, all right, you know what? The tuxedos seem a little messed up right now, right? Right.
Yeah.
He says, that's what all these overtime losses just have done to me. Like, all right, you know what? All these overtime losses seem a little messed up right now. You have four wins, real wins, four. Regulation and overtime, I should say, wins in 14 games. You've won 5 out of 14. And it's that's a disastrous number. The good news is, I guess, that nobody else is that good, but playoff teams have won 8 out of 14. The Flyers, the Leafs, who in Toronto, they think the Leafs are terrible. Maybe they turn their season around. 8-5-1, the Leafs. I don't know what to do with it. They lost to the Blues. You want to say they should have won. They got goalied. There's lots of things to say, but there's also this part where the Sabres can never sync it up. They can never sync up better defensively with the ability to score. They can never sync up scoring and good defensively with a couple of saves. They can never sync up the saves with the power play, with the penalty. It's like always two or three things taking them down, and I don't want to be the guy that after a random Thursday loss to St. Louis says, what are we doing here? But what are we doing here?
You want to be serious about the season, these are games you need to bank.
Yeah, you got to win a game like that. And they play Carolina next, which is a much more difficult challenge. Right.
And they never win.
They never win in Carolina. And they've got injuries too, but 14 points in 14 games. Like right now, their pace is below what they need. They're on pace for an 82-point season, which is pretty much what they finish with every single year. So I am not, I'm going to make this very key distinction, I'm not telling you that missing the playoffs would be better, but if I was to ask, you know, for the next 10 years of their existence, what do I want to be a little bit nervous about a team that if they did put it together and make the playoffs as the 8 seed, that might embolden the way that they've done things for the last 6 years? And instead, if they miss by 5, maybe they go boldly in a direction to be different. This is kind of like, can I make a comparison? The Dolphins. Like the Dolphins have been competitive, and they've actually been a playoff team, and yet the entire time, most would say they've been non-threatening. There's nothing really there. They only beat bad teams. They lose to good teams, and every once in a while they can fool themselves into thinking they have a real chance to win something. And of course, they don't. And they never really did through that time. What should they do? Should they fire their GM and their coach? Like they did fire their GM. For the Sabres, like, man, you're so far into this. And it's, hey, you have a trade that looked good. Kesselring and Doan for Paterka looks like a good trade. Oh, nice. All right, so your good trade has made you a better team, right? No, not really. Last in the East, 5 wins in 14 regulation. 5 wins in regulation in 14 games. It is just, every year, we're trying to talk ourselves into, you know, this part of it might look better, and this part might look better. I've been doing it. I'm trying to talk myself into it. But, you know, the standard is the floor, and they're always just like one sheet of paper above that. It's the thick. It's a micron above the floor when you are in last in the East. And, well, you're not out of it yet. In the entire NHL, there might be 5 teams that are out of it, and they're all in the West. So, man, it is tough. It is tough. The Flames have 3 wins. Like, yeah. Of all the teams, the entire league, I was looking at entire league and regulation wins, because I used to do this when the Sabres had, like, at the late stage Ryan Miller years, where it would feel like they're not that good, would say, man, they don't have that many regulation wins. They're overtime merchants in them one of those seasons, and think, like, if you're good, you win games in regulation occasionally. And to only have 4. Listen, there are a lot of teams that only have 4. It's kind of the story of the league this year. But any idea that they're good, they're improved, they're better, they're headed in the right direction, I mean, it's just tough to sell. It's a real tough sell. So that's a game against – you've lost to Boston twice in St. Louis.
Yeah.
These are the worst teams in the league,
and
along with you, yeah. I guess.
And you just can't – despite how well they've played at times and despite the injuries, you can't lose those games to those teams and think that you're going to have the good faith of your fan base.
Yep. They've got a pair of back-to-back wins. Happened twice. They beat Ottawa and Florida, and they beat Detroit and Toronto. And in regulation wins in that department, they haven't done much. It's haven't had a regulation win in 6 games. But you got 5 points. Okay. 6 points. Sorry. 6 points in those 6 games. Larry in South Florida. It is Miami week. We'll talk plenty of Bills Dolphins today and, you know, dig into that. Larry, good morning.
Good morning. I know it's Miami week and I'm going to the game, and, you know, you talked about Brandon being, you know, yesterday, you listened to his comments, so he felt pretty good that he tried, and I think someone even said something about Yoda. There's no try.
Do or do not. There is no try. Yeah,
that's right. And so that just—I mean, I'm sorry. You do what you got to do, like you said. You know, you got to have the courage to make that move. But I called to talk about UPL and the Buffalo Sabres. I was on the bullpen earlier this morning, and people are ripping, which as they should. You know, there's 17 shots on this guy, and he lets up three goals, and two of them were a joke, one shorthanded. And I don't know if you guys noticed. I'm sure, Owen, you know, with your hockey knowledge and background, you do. But it seems, especially this year, and I know it's only been a handful of games, but when he's in the lineup, they play differently. It's just, it seems like the defense just kind of gets super lax. And like you were talking about Tage, he looks like a different player. I don't know if these guys rally around Lyon, but when Lyon's in there, I mean, he goalies teams, but we don't score enough goals. I mean, if Ukko Pekka Luukkonen's in the game against Utah, I'm convinced they score six or seven goals against us. But Lyon stood on his head time and time again, and we could not deliver. And they goalied us. There's no doubt about it. That guy is huge, and he's good. Well, UPL's huge. He's not good. When are we going to get an administrative unit in this hockey club that is going to understand that this team is just not good? We have two first overall picks, both defensemen. I think Darlene's great. Power, I can't figure him out. You got Eichel and Reinhart with number twos, and we don't even sniff the playoffs. So there is something happening in this organization, gentlemen, that is so beyond frustrating for Sabres fans that people just aren't going to go. I turned it off after we gave up the shorthanded goal. I said, yeah, UPL's in that. Here comes another loss. So I think it's time either you go get a top six forward by trading him in some draft picks and probably a prospect, or just get rid of him. So I'd love to get your thoughts on that, and go Bills.
Thanks. I mean, in terms of getting rid of him, good luck.
Yeah.
Like, really good luck. You signed him to a big, huge contract, and that was off of, like, what, 50 games?
Right. Somebody would pick him up if he's on waivers, but you're not going to get anything of any kind of significance for him right now, I don't think.
Yep.
And just to the caller's point about playing differently in front of UPL, there is a lot of merit to if your team trusts what's in the crease, you do play more free. And I think there is a little bit of that coming through from them. It just doesn't look comfortable when he's back there, UPL. And I think it's not only the fact that he's been struggling, you know, results-wise, but it's also a little bit of how UPL plays the position. He's very scrambly. There's a lot of rebounds popped out to weird places. And when you've got a guy back there that looks unpredictable in the net, it can lead to the team feeling nervous. Whether that's conscious or not, that happens. I know I've had conversations with coaches in my playing days. I used to be a little bit of that. I used to get a little wonky and like get a little chasey. And I would have conversations with almost every goalie coach I ever had. And they would tell me, like, it may not hurt you where you're giving up a goal that looks bad, but your team sees how you're looking in the net. When you're sliding into the corner chasing a puck, and even if it doesn't go in, your defensemen notice that. And they you know, the grip tightens on the stick a little bit. And that is absolutely a thing that happens in the game. I don't think that the Sabres don't trust UPL right now, but I think that they are aware of what is happening when he's in net for them.
Yeah.
And there's no avoiding that. And if I was a defenseman on that team, I would think I'm probably being smart if I'm a little more on my toes in the D zone. And, you know, there is something to be said there.
803-0550. Thanks, Larry, for the phone call. Sabres lose to the Blues. They get shut out by the St. Louis Blues. And next up, it's Carolina. Bills and Dolphins coming your way. Miami week. And again, I started to mention, like, this game does matter for the division because, you know, let's just run through it. If the Bills and Patriots are going to go down to the wire on who wins this division, the winner has to have either A, the better record, or B, win the tiebreaker. And the tiebreaker after head-to-head is going to be record in division. And if the Bills have a loss to Miami just kind of mixed in there, that gets a lot tougher. So win this week against Miami, beat the Dolphins, who are kind of at a franchise crossroads, and who knows really what they're playing for. Pride, jobs, protecting the coach. You know, he's come under quite a bit of fire for the way they play, how they look against good teams. I will say that against the Bills, the Dolphins have almost consistently, not every time, but they've been competitive. And while they don't beat the Bills, which is, you know, key, they do put a little scare into the Bills. The last couple, you know, earlier this year, Bills win by 10, but the Bills are kicking it to Miami tied late, punting to Miami tied in the fourth quarter before a roughing the punter penalty. The time before that, last year here in Buffalo, it's 30-27 Bills. Another close game. And that's one where the Bills have to kick a late field goal to beat Miami after Jordan Poyer hits Keon Coleman for, like, it's a third down penalty that puts them in position. Their offense did not look good in those final stages, even though they scored 30. Before that, 31-10, then 21-14, then 48-20, and 34-31, and 32-29. You know, you've got playoff games that have been three-point games. 21-19, I get pretty consistently every other or two out of every three Dolphin games end up being close games, competitive, in the fourth quarter. And, you know, this matchup, what will Miami do? Will they really test the Bills' ability to stop the run in a way that they haven't before? It might. Might see a lot of Devin Achane. Might see the Bills try and just lean on Miami like they always do. But the Dolphins like to blitz Josh Allen. They like to throw simulated pressure. They like to, you know, try to get him a little bit rattled. They have done that in the past. Again, it doesn't often lead to wins. They have won back in 2022. And the win before that for the Dolphins, you've got to go all the way back to, I'm still scrolling, all the way to 2018. So they've beaten Josh Allen one time, and the previous time, it's 21-17, and Zay Jones was involved in that game. Sorry, that's the second time they beat Josh Allen. They've beaten Allen twice. That's the Charles Clay game. So they don't beat the Bills too much. Could they this week? I don't think too many people give it a real thought that they would beat the Bills. The spread is relatively big, and the Bills have a lot more to play for than Miami does. So we'll see. If I'm a Dolphin fan, I'm happy they changed their GM. I'm probably upset they didn't sell off more pieces. And we can talk about that a little bit more. I saw Adam Schefter talking about this, what Miami's offseason could look like. Because with the Patriots and the Bills looking like there are now two strong teams in your division, it's like the vice gets a little bit tighter on any team. Like, uh-oh, we're trying to come back from nowhere. And there are now two good teams. And then the other team, the third team, the Jets, they should be bad for a little while, but they have loaded up on assets to try to be good. And if you're Miami, you know, if this were a dynasty league, I've got a dynasty league where I can punch in numbers to one of these fantasy sites, Fantasy Pros, and it'll give you your dynasty score, you know, this season's rankings on a scale of 1 to 100, and then your dynasty score on 1 to 100. And while the Dolphins this season score might be above the Jets, their dynasty score would just be a three. Miami does not have much going on looking forward. And quarterback's going to be a big conversation for them this offseason, no doubt. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. If you watched last night's game, official announcement. The Broncos stink. Bo Nix is not good. End of story. Bo Nix is not good. The Broncos stink. They were missing some pieces defensively, but whatever. I don't know if you'll find a worse 8-2 team in league history. Let's try to find it. 8-2, stink. Denver, no threat. And when they play the Chiefs, I think they're going to get beat. And that's Kansas City's road to get back into the playoff picture, maybe the division. If there's one playoff team, one team that's going to miss in the West, maybe it is the Chiefs. But, man, if you get in the playoffs and you have a chance to play the Broncos or the Chiefs, it is not close. The Broncos are not impressive. They were disastrously bad last night. That game last night set the sport back. It's the first time that the it's the first time that we see of those two teams, or sorry, of those games on Thursday Night Football. We've had good Thursday Night Football games, and this one is not good. If you missed it, you didn't miss much. It was a mess. 803-0550 on the Broncos. If you want to chime in there, you can. 1-888-550-2550. Another thing that could be breaking for the Bills, right? The Broncos in at 8-2, and yet bad. They could be 9-1, by the way. They almost beat the Colts. And then we'd be having the conversation, are they an actually bad 9-1 team? Which I might have time for. 803-0550 to join us. We'll check in with Paul. We'll check in with Sal. Alan Pupar on the Dolphins at 7:30. Chris Brown as well. It's all happening here on a Buffalo Bills Football Friday. Car crash, call Salino, call the Yates, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's hometown fuel, game day ready since 1922.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres have points in seven straight. They look to make it eight tomorrow as they are home to St. Louis. We're looking forward to your child's hockey journey starting right here in Buffalo. Our Learn to Play program includes a full set of gear, 6 weeks of instruction, and a ticket voucher presented by WellNow Urgent Care. No experience needed. You can upgrade to Team Tuck and your child can skate at KeyBank Center with Alex. Register now at sabres.com/learn-to-play. We promised Amerks GM and Sabres Associate GM, Jason Carmanos, here on Sabres Live. Great to see you, Jason. It's, you know, much talked about here with the Sabres' run of points of late. The Amerks are off to a terrific start as well at 7-3. What's been your personal kind of big story so far early this year?
Big story is we're finding ways to get points in Buffalo, which is really important when you have this kind of start with a lot of injuries. You just have to find a way. And that's been, you know, hasn't been perfect. You know, there's you know, sometimes when we've squandered a point or two away, but I like that the group is hanging in there. And I like in the early going that some of the young guys that have been coming along in Rochester have been able to contribute when needed. So that in the early going feels good.
Well, I do remember when I was in Rochester, Jody Gage was our GM, and when I would get called up and play well and return, or even if I stayed in Buffalo, like, he felt proud, right? It's like, oh, you know, it's like I was one of his kids. And so when you see Isaac Rosanne gets his first NHL goal, and then the next night, like, Noah Austin gets his first NHL goal, and the way that they've played, is there a sense of pride and fulfillment of what the work that's been done in Rochester?
Yeah, I mean, you're happy for them. They're putting in the work. They're on their development path. You know, there's no set time schedule for each player. I mean, they're all different. And so you, as an organization, have to keep that in mind as you go along here. You know, I love the way those two here, you know, they're looking more comfortable. You know, they're still not, you know, at the level, I'd say, you know, on a daily basis. You know, strength for both of them is still something that could improve. But I like the mindset, their approach. You know, they're a little bit more confident out there, you know. Rosie seems to want the puck like he wants the puck in Rochester now. Yeah. So that, you know, that doesn't come overnight. You know, Noah's very responsible, but now he's starting to make some plays here and there, getting a little more comfortable to play the game that we've seen him play in Rochester. So good signs, you know, like before Kozak got hurt, I thought he was flying and playing well and doing his thing. And, you know, so, you know, those are guys that spent a ton of time in Rochester, obviously. So, yeah, you like to see that over time. That's what we're trying to do. So yeah. It does make you happy to see. It makes you happy for them first and foremost because they're putting the work in.
And included in the most recent run of players scoring their first NHL goals, but he's older, but he was still incredibly valuable when you brought him into the Amerks last year, was Dunn. So, like, there has to be this art, right, to team building in all roles. What can you say about Josh and what he's meant organizationally here in the last year and a bit?
Yeah. No, I mean, he's just, first of all, just his leadership in Rochester right from the start, coming in from a different organization. The way he carries himself, I'm sure you guys know, he's just a pleasure to be around, you know, day in, day out, comes to the rink with a smile on his face, works his tail off all the time, plays hard, you know, like, you know, it's taken him a long time to score that goal, but geez, it was, you know, talk about being happy for somebody, you know, and he can, you know, he just, you know, he's the type of guy that's just going to contribute, in some way. He's going to find a way to help the team, you know, and he's still adjusting to this level. I mean, obviously there's some limitations that have probably kept him out of the league, but you know, he works at it. He's a smart player. He's determined. He competes like crazy. So, I mean, those are things our team needs. I think his presence has definitely helped, you know, in this situation where we're grinding for points, and we're getting them, you know. Yeah. Like I said, it's not pretty all the time, but the important part is that you're getting points.
The million-dollar question, and I'm sure that it's a situation that's a little bit unique, but there were six goalies between Rochester and Buffalo. And most of the people would want to know, like, Devon Levi is 5-0 and going to play tonight. So they want to know, how's Devon doing? How is he making the steps? But also, what are we to expect now with, you know, picking up Colton Ellis on waivers and Lukanen being healthy and Georgiev? Like, there's a couple of prospects in Leinonen and Ratzlaff that are a part of this whole situation too.
Hey, you're a goalie. We just can't get enough of them. We just, you know,
love. Well, I know, but now I'm worried they're going to come for my job too. So that's the problem. There's too many of them.
Yeah. You know, you can't predict, first off, like, you know, we had some things up in the air to start the year, you know, yeah. UPL's injury status. You can't predict who might be coming down, the pipe as a waiver guy that you could, put onto your roster. You know, when we obviously brought in Georgiev, there was lots of uncertainty for UPL. And, you know, he's a guy, Georgiev is, with 300 plus starts in the NHL. I mean, that's, you know, a lot of experience. So, and he was fine in training camp. He didn't do anything wrong, in my opinion. but a young goalie comes along that we've got time for in terms of scouting reports and the numbers to this point in his young career. And, you know, we felt like we had to take that opportunity to pick him up, you know, since he's had some, you know, minor ailments that have kept him out since he played his first game. But I think the important part is that we're still feel like we're maybe not totally out of the woods in terms of, you know, making sure that, you know, UPL is healthy, ready to go. I mean, he feels good. I don't mean to indicate that there's anything wrong, and he played well the other night. Mm-hmm. You know, Lyon played great last night, obviously. So, you know, it's just a situation that we're managing, knowing how important the goaltending is. You know, we can deal with a less than ideal situation in terms of having numbers. Rather have depth than a lack of depth, that's for sure.
Yeah. Is it something that you have like discussions on, like a time frame as far as like kind of how long you stay with this many players, or is it so situationally driven by not only your own organization, others?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's just, you know, a situation that, you know, it admittedly is not ideal from a number standpoint. You know, it can present some issues in terms of our roster management on a day-to-day basis, and all of that is not ideal. But, you know, it's superseded in, you know, in my mind with, you know, the interest in making sure that, you know, if we've got talented players that, you know, could help us, that, you know, we need to be mindful of that as well. So, yeah, I mean, not ideal, but at the same time, like, you know, it's a situation that we're managing mm-hmm. right now. You know, the three goalies in both places have great attitudes. They're great teammates. They understand what's going on. And we're just, like I said, focusing on the positive aspects right now. But, you know, at some point we may need to deal with it, but we're not feeling the need to deal with it before there's, you know, something that we can't get around.
Mm-hmm. How's Devin Levi? And I mean, I can talk a lot about the on ice. Like, I feel like he looks bigger. He looks stronger and a little bit more under control, which is some things that needs to, but how is he now, you know, seeing that there's three guys in Buffalo and having to be, you know, down in Rochester with, and I would assume, and I know the kid has a great attitude you just mentioned, but how do you see that being helpful for his development for the future?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously the position, you know, is difficult to establish yourself, difficult to, you know, be in the NHL as, you know, either a starter or a backup or a 1A, 1B, you know, either spot, you know, it's not something that happens overnight. So, mm-hmm. you know, here's a guy that came in and played so well right out of the gate and played a lot of good games for us, but you know, it's hard. You know, I my opinion is the position takes time, you know, and I think Devin understands that he wants to play first and foremost. He wants to be the best goalie that he can be for his whole career. You know, what's happened in the past sort of water under the bridge, in my opinion. Yeah. And at this point now, it's about him playing a lot and continuing his development path. I like what you said. I do think he's stronger. I do think that he's been really consistent and you know, sort of like some economy in his movement, I think, in the early going, that at times he's a competitor and he's a tremendous athlete. And at times he's maybe a little too active and you know, pucks are you know, kind of bouncing a bit off of him, and so those are things he's working on. I mean, that's, you know, he's got so much ability, as we all know, but there's other aspects to this, as you know, being a you know, getting to the point where you're the best goaltender you can be at the National Hockey League level. I mean, you know, he's been in the fire already to know that it just keeps coming night after night, mm-hmm. and so it can beat you down. you know? And so I think we're mindful of making sure that he goes through the proper steps in his development to be the best goaltender he can be.
Real quick, with all the talk here with Buffalo of Oslin and Rosé in the last couple of games, big opportunity for Consta Hellenius here to be the 1C for the Amerks tonight against Syracuse and, you know, however many games moving forward. Where's he at?
Oh, he's having a great start to his season. I don't know, 4 or 5 grade A's a night. You know, everything red line forward is really, really good. You know, still working on his overall game, and that, I mean, playing center primarily this year, you know, he's 19 years old. So, you know, like we're cognizant of that. And that development on the, you know, defensive side of his game, you know, faceoffs, you know, down low play, just reading, reacting in his own end, that's still a work in progress as it is with most every young player. So, but he's off to a great start, you know, building on the way he finished in the playoffs, quite frankly. And in that series in Laval, he was our best player. And that's really saying something for an 18-year-old in that environment. So, yeah, we think he's got loads of potential. He's off to a good start, but he's still developing his all around game.
Oh, I you know what happens when we, like, I'm listening and I'm looking at his stats and I'm looking at the impact that he's having this year, and knowing that, well, Roseanne is in Buffalo and Oslin is in Buffalo, and now you're like, okay, that is a learning experience for Consolanius. Now, you know, he's still small in his stature, but he goes to the spots. Like, and you said there's not really any set time for development, but what can we expect for him over the next couple of years to say, like, size-wise and maybe some of that physicality coming through? Because I think it's there.
Yeah, it is there. I mean, he showed that in the playoffs last year in Laval there, which is a very tough building to play in, and certainly not afraid of the moment, not afraid to, you know, to play in the hard areas. You know, he's not tall, but he's, you know, strong on his skates, and he knows how to hit too. Like, I mean, some guys just, you know, like he absorbs contact well. You know, so there's some natural, I think, strength to him. Like, he's a thicker body, but yet he still has lots of room to gain more strength. So, you know, that's different from Oslin. He's obviously a much slighter body. And they're basically the same height, you know, Constance is a little bit taller. But, you know, strength is key for any young player. I mean, some players a little bit more physically developed. I think he's strong already without being physically developed, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's an area of growth for him as well. Moving his feet more, you know, like, I think he's been able to play like in Liga and other levels, you know, thinking the game through, slowing it down. And there's time and place for that at times, but when he's at his best, you know, Const is moving his feet and going and dictating the play. Getting him to do that consistently shift after shift is still a work in progress. You know, some of it may be conditioning and, you know, just developing that tank over time. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Noah, same thing with Rosie. Like, these are young guys, and, you know, takes a lot of audio to play against the men in the NHL.
It does. We'll look forward to watching Hellenius and company tonight in Rochester. Jason, thank you so much for the time.
Yep. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Jason Karmanos, Amerks GM, Associate GM of the Sabres. We've got a special Hockey Fights Cancer auction going on right now, benefiting Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. It runs through November 9th, and you can bid on all kinds of stuff, including autographed items, used sticks from warmups, and you can just head to sabres.com/auctions to get involved. We'll wrap Sabres Live right after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
All right, Paul Hamilton joins me here on the Wester Hotline. Paul, last night down at the arena, watched the Sabres, like many of you, lose 3-0 to the St. Louis Blues, and I'm still scratching my head over it and frustrated about it. And Paul, I have to be honest, I just told our listeners here, after the first goal, the shorthanded goal, I said, I am just going to turn on football, and I cannot watch this. I'm so frustrated. Overreaction? I mean, the numbers seem to indicate the Sabres just got maybe a bit unlucky, and I know Rasmus Dahlin talked about it. Or was this a game where they just did not play well enough and deserved what they got?
A little bit of both. I mean, Lindy Ruff pointed out is absolutely true. I mean, right before the shorthanded goal, Doan on the power play gets a pass. Quinn puts a nifty move on, gives him a great pass. He's right there in the crease. And great glove save by Hoffer. Seconds later, Quinn turns the puck over. You don't get a big save from Lukanen. Not an easy save, but winning teams get that save. And that's 1-0. And it could have been 1-0. Who knows how the game changes if the power play goal goes in and it's 1-0 Buffalo instead of 1-0 St. Louis. So, you know, and but through it all, I mean, the second goal, Lukanen will want back. There's no question. But at the end of the day, he only gave up 2 goals.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a lot, you know.
Nope.
You still should be able to win a hockey game at home when you give up 2 goals. But Tage Thompson, 3 of his 5 goals came in that 2-game series with Toronto. He just is in a huge slump. Alex Tuch only has 5 goals, and it's making him do things that maybe he shouldn't do. Like, for example, on the penalty kill at the end of the game, he gets the puck, produces a 2-on-1. The 2 he's with is Matthias Samuelsson, and Justin Falk, a veteran defenseman, does what he's supposed to do. He takes the pass away. Goaltender has the shooter. The defenseman has the pass, so you don't get a layup. Well, Alex Tuch is a 36-goal scorer, and he comes down the slot and decides to force a pass to Samuelsson, who has 9 goals in 220-some-odd NHL games. And it's like the pass had no chance to be completed, none. And I would want a 36-goal scorer to shoot 100 times out of 100 there, you know, to off the 2-on-1. But, that, you know, just things like that that are going on. But, they, you know, when you are as injured as they are, you can't have your key guys in slumps. And, you know, you're without Norris and Benson from your top line. You're without Zucker and Kulik, who could fill in on your top line. I mean, these are the, you're, so they have a lot of very key injuries. I that's why I said they were lucky to get a point against a very good Utah team with the people the Sabres had out. To me, they were lucky to get a point because that's a lot of injuries that are going to be hard for them to overcome. So, you know, fast forward now, look what's coming ahead. I mean, that's only their second regulation loss in 11, and they basically are just keeping their heads above water with tiebreakers.
Yeah, I mean, they're on a pace for 82 points. I mean, right? Yeah. a point a game. It's not that's not nearly good enough, despite the fact that the rest of the East isn't good enough.
Yeah, I mean, to sit there and have two regulation losses in 11 games and to be just keeping your head above water is kind of crazy. I mean, you should be sprinting ahead by doing that because you got away with your three-game losing streak to start the year, and now you play much better, but you're not getting anywhere. And here comes this four-game road trip against Carolina, who you normally do not play well in that rink at all. Colorado, that's not one of their favorite rinks. And Detroit.
Utah.
We saw what a good team they are.
Yep.
And then Detroit. They could wind up ending this with a six-game losing streak. You know, and now here we are again, if that happens. So their key guys have got to get this figured out, and they've got to get it figured out now because they can't afford to go on the road and lose to three teams right off the bat after you lose your last two at home, because then you are going to be behind. Then you are going to be in last place in the conference, and then it's going to be catch-up mode for the rest of the year. So their key players have got to get this figured out, and they got to get it figured out now.
There was so much talk when the schedule came out, Paul. 10 of the first 14 games at home. Well, we're there now. It's 14 games. They've played 10 at home. Now they're going on the road. They did not do what they needed to do in those 10 home games out of 14. They have 5 total wins, 4 in regulation. They're 5-9. That's their record, 4 regulation wins. That said, as you just laid it out, tough games coming up on the road. You know how these things go with hockey teams. Is this the type of team that maybe getting away from home a little bit here could be a little bit better for them? I mean, we saw that last year in November, right around this same time when they went to San Jose and they come out and like, oh my God, they're in a playoff spot. But then everything went terrible after that, obviously. But that was a nice road trip for them.
No, but don't forget, 2 of those road losses were right in the beginning. I mean, in their last 8 home games are 5-1-2.
Yep.
So they got the home thing kind of straightened out a little bit and became a pretty good home team. So I would say once they got past that 3-game losing streak, they did take advantage of their home schedule until these last 2 games against Utah and against St. Louis. I guess I would push back a little bit on that just because, unfortunately, it took them 3 games to get it going.
Sure.
You know, those 3 games were unacceptable. They were being outworked. They weren't playing well at all. And through it all, they still were in 1-goal games and easily could have maybe picked up points in all 3, even though they played poorly. But still, the fact remains is they started the season on a 3-game losing streak and played poorly. At least they stopped it at 3, and it didn't turn into 7. It didn't turn into 10. It didn't turn into 13. And that's what I would say should worry a fan right now is, do they get players back on Saturday? Even if they get players back, they have trouble winning in Carolina anyway, because Carolina is such a good team. And it's just not a rink. Buffalo has never matched up well against them. And it's mm-hmm. not a rink they play well in. So I think that would be the worry right now. Is this the stretch where this is going to start getting away from this hockey team? And that's why they got to get their guys, their key guys, Dahlin, Tuck, and Thompson. They have to start playing up to their potential, and they have to start now. They can't go on this road trip and be 1-3 or 0-4.
Yeah, to your point, 5-3-2 at home overall, so you get 12 points out of that, which is not bad at all, but they have not won a road game yet, so this is their chance. They've only played 4 road games. They
right,
they do have two. Yeah, 0-2-2 right now, so we'll see. All right, let's talk about the injuries. Anything new to report from last night, whether that's guys coming back or guys that we're concerned about going forward?
Well, with Zucker, it's just he's extremely ill. That's why, you know, he missed two games, but you would hope by now that maybe, you know, he's starting to feel better. With fluid in the ear, which is a different way of just saying inner ear infection, who knows how long that will take. Maybe Kulik would be ready on Saturday also. And don't forget, the IR is retroactive. So they, even though they didn't go on IR that day, it goes back to the last game they played. So they are eligible to come off IR on Saturday if they're feeling well. So that certainly would help to be able to get those two players back. Maybe would help Tuck and Thompson to get rolling too, as far, because Tuck is had more great opportunities than Thompson has. Tuck has been producing a lot of great opportunities, and he's just being stopped by goaltenders. Thompson is just doesn't seem like he's getting a lot of scoring opportunities lately. You know, Ruff kind of wants him to shoot more. And you know what, Sal? I don't think it was fair what they did to any of them last night. They, without practicing, put Thompson on a line with Auslund and Roseanne. All that did for 40 minutes was have two young players go, where's Tage? Where's Tage? They were totally intimidated by Tage Thompson. Not that Tage Thompson was being a jerk, but they were intimidated by the presence of Tage Thompson. So instead of playing their game, they were looking for Tage Thompson all night long. Where's Tage? Where's Tage? We got to pass the puck to Tage. Where is he? And to me, it's just not fair. Why would you put the three of them together without even a practice together? You know, the first time they ever were together was on the lines in the beginning of the game in warm-up. And for 40 minutes, it was a colossal failure. And that was the next thing I was thinking is, why did you let this go for 40 minutes? It just wasn't, it was out of sync. It wasn't working at all. But I thought that was a huge mistake by Lindy Ruff. I don't think it was fair to the two young players, and I don't think it was fair to Thompson. Not necessarily that he did it, but he did it without letting them practice together.
Last thing, on that same note, is it fair what's going on in the goaltending room right now? Because I see UPL out last night. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't need this guy to play right now. But Lions played well. I know that there's been some issues there. And I know health plays into this and illnesses and all that kind of stuff. But I just feel like, from my observation, the kind of holistically, Paul, that what they're doing at goaltending doesn't seem like it's benefiting the team right now.
Again, the Lions been great. I mean, he just had the one game where it looked like he was starting to fatigue, so he had a night off and played great the next game. He was phenomenal.
Okay.
He went save for save against Utah. He was great in that game. It was just the one game where he started showing fatigue, and maybe that's what Ruff was waiting to see. Is all right, when he starts showing fatigue, we'll give him a night off, and that's what they did. And that's when Luukkonen came in and played really, really well. But, again, you know, the second goal on Luukkonen yesterday was a goal that he would want back. And the first one, as I said, championship teams get a big save there. You know, when you know, there's a mistake like that and you're on a power play and there's a breakaway, it's not an easy save, but you would want a big save from your goaltender there. If you're going to be an elite number one goaltender, you got to help your team out there. You got to bail your guys out. And he didn't, but at the end of the night, he only gave up two, you know,
That's right.
But still, it wasn't what you would want. But Lyon, I think, has been great. I don't think he's really slipped at all.
I agree with that. I guess I'm just wondering about just the rotation of them. And I know Ellis is there as well, and we saw some nice things from him. But you're right. He needs a night off. They have rotated each of the last four games, by the way. Lyon, UPL, Lyon, UPL. Back to Lyon, I guess, on Saturday night then, I would guess.
I would guess then. And Ellis finally dressed for a game. He hadn't dressed since. You know, he had the back spasms. So Ellis did dress for the game as the backup for the first time since the back spasms. So that tells us that he's ready to hop in net if needed. I kind of thought he might play against his old team last night, but, you know, Luukkonen was coming off a very good game. So I understand why. I mean, he's supposed to be their number one goaltender. So you saw a number one goaltender in the game before. So it's like, okay, let's see what we got here. Let's try it again. Well, you didn't see a number one goaltender last night. So what happens? All right, Lyon plays. somebody's going to have to play either in Utah or in Denver. It's back-to-back. So is it Ellis? Is he going to get another opportunity? Or are they going to see where Lukanen's at? He's saying, all right, he just had one bad game, one good game. Where is he at? But somebody's going to have to play other than Lyon in that two-game against Utah and Denver in the back-to-back situation.
Paul, what's the first Bills-Dolphins game you remember?
Bills-Dolphins game? Do I have to date myself? I can go back to the 60s.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't remember a lot of it.
Yeah.
But I do remember the colors of the game, Miami, okay. And, you know, the dolphin in the pool. And
the Orange Bowl. Yeah,
the Orange Bowl. And uh-huh. Howard Twilley and that group. I think they might have had a guy named George Wilson at quarterback at some point back then.
Wow.
I don't know if Greasy was in the 60s. I know he was in the 70s. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think if it was.
And you remember the 20 straight in the 70s, obviously.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Remember that. There's no question about that, but I guess I date myself a little bit.
It's all right. Joe Ferguson was the legend of the game last week with Jim Kelly. It's really good to see him on the field, by the way.
And he's
the Bills' first quarterback I remember.
Yep. No, I remember Jack Kemp again. I don't remember much of. I don't remember him playing. I just remember the name. You know, hearing Jack Kemp and Daryl LaMonica's name being brought up around the house. But, of course, back then you don't see that many Bills games because the home games aren't on TV. And,
that's right.
You know, there's really not that big a coverage. The road games are on TV, but I was pretty young back then. I don't really remember too much of that.
I just remember the Orange Bowl, and it was always Cricky and Trumpy, right, doing the games with the Bills down in Miami growing up in the 1980s. Hey, Paul, enjoy your weekend, buddy. We'll talk to you next week. And, of course, at PHAM1717, WGR550.com. Thanks a lot, man.
Sounds good. Take care.
All right, you got it. That is Paul Hamilton. And, of course, his appearances on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Raylax Honda. Raylax, we got this. A quick timeout here. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the hour. We'll get to hour number two, 11 a.m. hour, is when Sean McDermott joins us here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Good morning. How are you?
Paul, you've heard these emotions at a million trade deadlines in years past, right?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more.
Right.
I mean, you said it perfectly.
Well, it just feels like when you've got an opportunity, you know, I like the caller said, I can't know the trades that they ultimately did not pull the trigger on, but you've never won, you're good, and it feels like a missed opportunity. That's how it feels.
Yeah, I mean, my first thought is, again, they didn't do anything. I just don't think Bean values wide receiver because he has Josh Allen. I really think he honestly believes that if you have Josh Allen, you just basically need guys that can catch the ball. And it doesn't really matter who they are because you have Josh Allen. And, of course, if you have Josh Allen, you're always in the ball game. You're always in the hunt. That's true. But you can also get a lot better if you have a better wide receivers than the Buffalo Bills have.
Also would have thought, you know, maybe defensive tackle, defensive end. So I'm the wide receiver guy, Paul. I need to make sure people know I was open to other positions as well. Anyway, all right, so the Sabres, Paul, they lost in overtime last night and had the stat from earlier that in their last 14 overtime games, they have one goal. They go to shootouts and they lose. They do not win in 3-on-3. And I guess the question I've got for you is, you know, not that you have all 14 of these fresh on the top of your mind, is this a structural problem or is this that players – on this team don't finish in overtime?
They don't finish. They have had golden opportunities. And you're right. I mean, five in a row for the Sabres, and the only one that they won was the shootout. And in every single one of them, the guys that you could handpick to get the opportunities got them. And they were grade A. Great opportunities, and last night, Alex Tuch, right down the middle, great glove save. Yeah, the Sabres were facing a goalie who they just can't beat. He is a Saber killer, but that's the guy. You could say, all right, you're going to get one just fantastic scoring chance. Who would you like? Well, Thompson, of course, would come out of your mouth.
Yep.
Tuch might be the second one out of your mouth. And he got it. And he also, if you recall, got an absolutely wide open net in the third period on a 3-on-1. They executed it perfectly. You know, great pass right to Tuch. Wide open net. Missed the net. I mean, so he had two grade A golden opportunities. One to put the Sabres ahead, the other to win the hockey game, and he couldn't do it. But back to the overtime thing, I mean, in every single one of them, it's that those are the guys that are getting the chances. And, you know, I mean, they're playing. I mean, they had it going in. Their points percentage was 722 in their last nine. They have one regulation loss in their last 10 games. Yep. One. And all they're doing is staying above water. They're 1 point out of the cellar in the Eastern Conference, and they're 1 point out of the two wild card positions held by Toronto and Philadelphia, who have 15 points, and the Sabres are sitting there with five other teams at 14 points. And behind them are the Washington Capitals and Florida Panthers with 13 points. So that's the crazy thing about this, is one regulation loss, 5-1-4 in their last 10 games, and all they've been able to do is keep up.
Yeah. Paul, you mentioned Thompson with a chance there. He's got 5 goals in 13 games. One thing that kind of jumps out at me about Thompson, his shooting percentage this year is half of what it was last year. His last four seasons, 15, 16, 12, and 18, if I can round a little bit here. And this year he's shooting at 9%. Do you find that Tage is snake-bitten, or is he not getting the same kind of chances? What do you see out of Thompson? Because if his shooting percentage were double, he'd have double the goals, right? Like, and maybe a career high, asking for a career high, which is what last year was, is asking a bit much. But he is below his career shooting percentage considerably.
And I think with him, he will get there. I don't know when that will be, but he will get there. He had two posts last night. One early, you know, he went into the backhand and hit a post. And, you know, so right now I think he's just snake bitten. He's the one guy I don't particularly worry about when it comes to goal scoring and slumps and that kind of thing, because last year I remember He didn't score a goal at all. I think it was the first five games, somewhere in there. And then the next thing, he scored in every game for the next five or six. And he was off and running. So that's, he just has to get off and running and see the puck go in the net. And he, too, has had some opportunities to win hockey games for them. And just it looked like for a bit there that maybe it was starting to come. You know, that he did score in consecutive games. It was the two Leaf games. I think he had three goals in the two Leaf games. And I'm thinking, okay, here we go. I mean, now he's going to get going. And, you know, he really hasn't. And I hate to sit here. I know it's next guy up, and I know they now in the last week have three guys that have scored their first NHL goal. It's the first time since Richard Schmelik and Yuri Hemilev scored their first NHL goals that that's happened for them. That's how long ago it was. But to me, here they are playing one of the best teams in the National Hockey League so far this year in the Utah Mammoth. They're 3 points behind Colorado for the lead in the Central Division. And as I'm going through very quickly, I believe Colorado has the most points. They do. They have the most points in the NHL. So Utah has really played well this year. And the Sabres show up without Josh Norris, Zach Benson, Jason Zucker, Yuri Kulik, Tyson Kozak, and Justin Danforth. And Colton Ellis, I still don't think, is 100%. That's tough. I mean, Norris and Benson are supposed to be on your top line. Zucker was just on your top line with Kulik trying to fill in. They're sick. I mean, that's a tough task to come in and play. That's a lot of people out of your lineup. And Roseanne and Auslan are doing a nice job. So is Dunn coming up from Rochester. But they aren't the players that I just named. And that's a tough task to ask, and they still were able to get a point and had every opportunity to win a hockey game, even without those guys. And by the way, the only one with a chance of being ready Thursday would be Kozak.
803-0550 for Paul Hamilton on the Sabres here. Paul, you've seen a couple games here of Michael Kesselring, who they got from Utah last night, a revenge game for Doan and Kesselring and Peterka. What are you seeing from Kesselring? How do you like him as a player and how he fits in this team right now?
I agree with him. I think he evaluated himself perfectly on the pregame show that it's time. You know, he goes, first game I did all right, the next two I didn't. He goes, I've had enough games now, it's time to get my game back. You know, because this is basically, if you think about it, been his preseason. And and right off the bat, he had maybe the best chance. Nope, I think Tuck missing the net, a wide open net. The second best chance of the night when Byram saw him come in from the right point. He was wide open. Byram put a perfect pass on his stick down low, right where Vemelka is. Kesselring knows Vemelka. He's teammates with. He knows what he can do, and he somehow got over and stopped what should have been a tap in. It was a perfect pass, and you know Kesselring, I could just tell how frustrated and angry he was coming back that he missed that opportunity. That was very early in the game.
Yep.
Which would have given the Sabres a 1-0 lead. It was, and then Byram missed coming down the middle, and then Byram set up Quinn. This all happened like within 30 seconds. And, you know, then I thought to myself, yep, this goaltender has goalied them his whole career right now. Against the Sabres, he is now 5-2-1 with a 1.75 goals against and a .941 save percentage. And remember the guy who's backing him up, Vanacek?
Yeah.
His numbers are just about the same against Buffalo. These two goaltenders might be the best two goaltenders against Buffalo active in the NHL right now. But Kesselring, I'm starting to see him get a little bit more involved offensively, you know, in the offensive zone, being that fourth guy coming in late. And, you know, he made a good hit. You know, I haven't seen a lot of contact yet, which I think we will. I just think he's trying to find his footing. He said systemly he's trying to find his footing with the system, but he said it's long enough. You know, he goes, I did have some preseason. I didn't have a lot. And, you know, he said he has three now, four games, and he was very blunt. He says the time has come. I got to start playing up to my potential.
Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline, chatting Sabres, who lost in overtime last night. So, Paul, eye on the blue and gold. Let's do that going forward, because you mentioned all the injuries. Like, are we expecting to see them get healthier soon? I mean, how long until they start to get some of their bodies back?
Well, I saw Benson with a walking boot on last night.
Right, so that's not good.
Yeah, so he still has it on. So he doesn't look like he's coming back. I think I can confidently say I'm not going to see him Thursday. Zucker and Kulik. Zucker was sick, and then yesterday Ruff said he's worse. That's why he went on IR, to make room for Ostlund, because Ruff said, he goes, I don't think Zucker and Kulik could be ready anyway on Thursday, and you can retroact IR. So Zucker went on IR last Saturday, and then he'd be eligible to come off this Saturday. If he's not ready Thursday and wasn't going to be ready, you could have put them both on IR if you wanted to and pulled them off on Saturday. Kulik, he's trying to play with what I'll call an inner ear infection. I usually don't speculate, but I've had one, very bad one in college, where I tried to get out of bed, I fell right to the floor. I mean, you just have no sense of balance whatsoever. And the way Lindy Ruff described it, he goes, it's kind of like when your kid, and you, Jeremy, you would know this better than I would, has like fluid in their ears.
Yeah.
And he said he tried to play through it, and he just couldn't. So to me, that's an inner ear infection. So it's affecting his balance, and he's not getting better either. So that's why Lindy Ruff was very pessimistic that those two would be ready Thursday. But I think there's a good chance maybe in Carolina on Saturday they could get maybe those two back. So there's three guys that have a chance to get back maybe fairly soon.
Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.